On WHFR, we don't just talk about supporting local music, we're doing it.
Every Tuesday, between the hours of 6 and 10, the sounds of creative, improvised music come your way on the Spirits Rejoice radio program, right here on Henry Ford Community College Radio, WHFR, Dearborn. Tune in.
If your walls could talk, what would they say?
I have held the same mirror for 13 years.
I have been decorated with purple dinosaurs, baseball teams, and football helmets.
I have witnessed 33 Thanksgiving dinners and one wedding proposal.
I have tiny notches marking the growth of three children.
I have caused a learning disability.
I am the reason that a fifth grader simply can't sit still.
I am responsible for a five-year-old's rage.
Just because you can't see lead paint doesn't mean it's not on walls, doors, windows, and sills. Today, lead paint poisoning affects over 1 million children. If your home is built before 1978, your family could be at risk. Let's make all kids lead-free kids. Log on to leadfreekids.org or call 800-424-LEAD.
I am the reason a child has trouble hearing.
If your walls could talk, what would they say?
Brought to you by the Coalition to End Childhood Lead Poisoning, EPA, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Looking for something to do on Saturday afternoons? Why not take a short trip to Redford and check out the Friends of the Redford Library book sale? The sale takes place every week from noon to 4 p.m. on the upper floor of the Redford Library, which is located between Telegraph and Beach Daily Roads at 25320 West 6 Mile Road. Come browse in a low-key setting the thousands of used books and small assortment of used CDs and DVDs that are available to purchase. The Friends of the Redford Library is an all-volunteer staff, so proceeds raised by the sale are used to pay for special programs for children and adults. So do something different on Saturdays. Enrich your mind while you contribute to a good cause. For more information, call 313-531-5960.
The views and opinions expressed on the following pre-recorded show do not necessarily represent those of WHFR or Henry Ford Community College. Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to the show called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and this month my special guest is Debbie Bonello. She is a stage 4 cancer survivor of 8 years, a mother of four, and a Reiki master. And we will be touching on all of those things at some point during the program. But Debbie, welcome to the show, and thank you for being here.
You're very welcome.
Great. Now, first of all, stage 4 cancer survivor of 8 years. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, yes. When I was first told about this, I was devastated. I have breast cancer, and when they told me it was stage 4, I didn't even know what that meant until we sat and talked with the doctor. And it was really very devastating because I had four children. One was in second year at State. I had two children, one in sixth and seventh grade, and then I had a third grader. And I just thought, you know, I have to do something. Who's going to take care of my kids? So I was just I was just pretty well overwhelmed with everything, and the doctor was wonderful and had said, we're going to try treatments, and, you know, and it kind of gave us a plan of what we were going to do. It was kind of interesting because when the diagnosis was finally made, we were in Canada, and we received the news at a pizza place because we were on our way to our friend's funeral because she had just passed away with breast cancer. So like a few days after she had died, I was diagnosed. So it was just, everything was just, you know, up and down. We just were very, very, very scared. Mm-hmm. We started the treatment, and it was an 8-month treatment. And, you know, along the way, it was our whole lives had changed. My husband was taking me once a week, every week. It was, you know, from, I think it was like about 9 o'clock in the morning to like 3 in the afternoon. We had grandparents coming in and watching the kids. We had, you know, people sending dinners in. I was working as a special ed teacher at a charter school, and so the parents just jumped in and were making, you know, dinners for us. Everything had just, our whole world had turned around. There were days that I was so tired, I couldn't get out of bed. And, you know, there were days when I would tell my husband, I don't want to go. I just don't want to go, because my strength would come back by, say, Saturday and Sunday, and then Monday I had to go back for treatment, and it pretty well knocked me out for the rest of the week. So it was just very hard, and but it was an 8-month treatment. After 8 sessions, I went into remission, and things were looking really, really good. And so I had the summer off. I was diagnosed in 2004. So I had the summer off. I had June, July, August, and then in September I went for a mammogram, and they found something again. So, you know, I had to, we talked to the doctor, and the doctor immediately put me back on the chemo. So it was off 3 months, and I had to go back 8 months again with the chemo. But the second time around, I knew what to expect, and I had decided that I would work part-time. The first time I just totally took the whole time off. But I found that it was important that I go back to work and try to show my kids that things could be normal again. And so there were a few days during the week that I was just totally out of it. And then when I would recover, I'd go back and work. And then, you know, then go through the whole routine again. After 8 months, I was in total remission. And then I had gotten a lumpectomy. And when what they had pulled out of there was just this shriveled tumor, and they said it was a great indication that it was working, because as it turned out, when I got the cancer, it was so aggressive that it just went into my lungs and in like towards my aorta, and it was pretty bad.
Yes, it sounds very, very scary, but it must have been nice. I mean, you were touched by the outpouring of love and concern by others, I would imagine.
You know, it was really, really something to see that, how people, you know, that you just, you knew, but just saw how they just stepped up and tried to help, you know, in any way that they could. My fellow colleagues were just, they were there to support my kids in any way that they could. You know, some teachers would just, you know, spend time with them. We worked very closely together because my youngest son was depressed. And, you know, he actually wanted to just stay in his room and in bed all the time. So it was a very, very hard time. But, you know, we had everybody in there, you know, helping us. And the, especially, too, the staff over at Josephine Foreign Cancer Center in Brownstown, they were fantastic. I mean, the nurses and the doctors, they you know, they've become family to us. Mm-hmm. And have watched our kids grow up, and have you know, they had a kid support group, so my kids went to that, and they've learned to adjust, and they actually are mentoring other kids now to help go through, you know, the ordeal that they are or their parents are going through. It's amazing, mm-hmm. Just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would imagine, too, that you wanted to, A, show your children that this could be beaten, and also they probably gave you inspiration to keep on going, because that was one of the first things you thought of was your children. I'm sure that they really gave you inspiration also to fight this as best you can so you could be around to see them grow up.
Yes, absolutely. In the beginning, it was really hard because when I would do things with the kids, it was like, oh, this is probably the last thing I'm going to do with them, you know. We went to the Tiger game one time, and, you know, I told them, let's just go on the Ferris wheel there, the little baseball one, and we were all sitting on there, and I was thinking, this is probably the last, you know, moments that I'm going to have with my kids. I have to make these memories with them.
Mm-hmm.
But then as time went on, I just thought, you know, that's, I couldn't do that. You know, I had to help them and show them, and you know, that I could fight, that I was strong, and that I, you know, I could do this. And, you know, they were wonderful too. Them, I fought for them because mm-hmm. I wasn't ready to let go of my kids. I needed to teach them, and they needed, you know, to teach me too along the way.
Right. Yeah. It works both ways, huh?
Yes.
Well, I think that's important. I've heard of many parents that, you know, have said that they do not want to go. They want to fight any serious illness just because of their kids. They feel that they have a mission yet to fulfill with them. And again, like you said, you learn from them, they learn from you, and they didn't feel that mission was complete. So they wanted to stick around as best they could for as long as they could. And you felt the same way?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. In fact, now that as they're older, you know, they're in their 20s and my youngest is, you know, 17, more of their thoughts and ideas are actually coming out, and they're sharing now the thoughts that they had when they were children. You know, it's coming out even more so now. So it helps me to understand better, and, you know, it's kind of strengthened our relationship quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's a great side benefit. Now, you've been in remission for 8 years, so everything looks good. I mean, do you have to get everything checked out once a year, or how does that work? How often?
Well, right now I do receive chemo every 3 weeks. I'm on Herceptin, which is just a wonderful, wonderful drug because it is just fighting everything off. So I have to go take that every 3 weeks, and it's about an hour. I have my port still, and so with an IV, you know, I just sit for an hour. I like to tell people that it's a great excuse to go and put my feet up for an hour and have a cup of coffee and visit my friends.
Right. You can relax and just take it easy.
Yeah,
it's kind of a hard way to do it, but still, yeah, it gives you an excuse, right?
You got to look at the positive sides of everything.
That's right. And briefly, I just wanted to mention that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My guest this month is Debbie Bonello. She's a stage 4 cancer survivor of 8 years, mother of 4, and a Reiki master. Now, during your battle with cancer, and it seems like you're not completely out of the woods, I mean, you still have to have touch-up sessions, so to speak. How have you used Reiki to help you? And were you using Reiki and practicing Reiki before you discovered you had cancer?
Well, I found out about Reiki while I had cancer. It got to a point where I just lost hope. I thought I had no control over this. There was nothing I could do, and it just seemed like a losing battle because it was stage 4. And, you know, it's really funny, but when, you know, people hear about stage 4, they get this very serious look on their face, and they think the same thing I used to think, which is, oh, man, big trouble, may not make it.
Right.
And that's kind of the road I was going down. I had found out at the Josephine Ford Cancer Center that they had these pamphlets on Bluebird, Camp Bluebird, over in Holland, Michigan. So I decided to attend that retreat. It was for cancer survivors. And it was a 3-day retreat. And in the midst of finding a lot of things out about cancer and many things that I could do, one of the services that they offered was Reiki. And I never heard of that before. And I thought, well, you know, I've had a massage before, and they've done reflexology, and they had offered Reiki. And I thought, well, I'm going to try that and see what that's all about. So I had a session, and the lady that had given me Reiki, told me, she said, you know, I see you standing in a field and you have long hair. And she says, you look very peaceful, you know. And I was very surprised by that because, I mean, I didn't even know what any of this was about. And she told me something like that. Down the road, I kind of had an image of what she was really talking about. But it was at that moment that I knew I wanted to pursue that. So I left that retreat feeling very revived and strong and knowing that I could beat this. I did have some control over some things. And it was like 3 years later that I had found a Reiki class offered over at St. Mary's Hospital in Livonia. So that's when my Reiki journey began.
Mm-hmm. So how long have you actually practiced Reiki now?
Let's see, 2007, 6 years now. Mm-hmm. 2007, I had the first and second degree, and then in 2009, I became a Reiki master. I had decided to practice Reiki and experience as much as I could before I took the next step of becoming a Reiki master.
Mm-hmm. Now, how have you used Reiki to help you with cancer?
Well, I give myself Reiki treatments, and I've also given Reiki to others with the idea that, especially those that have cancer, so I'm able to share my story and my fears and my experiences with them to help them and reassure them that they're not alone, and that with the help of the receiving Reiki and the medicine that they get, that they can become stronger and ride this journey, take this journey, and be okay. No matter what happens, it'll be okay, because, you know, God is with us.
Right. So do you feel that it's therapeutic for both you and the patient that you're working on, that it helps you both?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. In a few ways. First of all, when I'm providing Reiki to other people, I am receiving Reiki as well. So they're healing and I'm healing, and we're both being grounded. But again, I think that's why I got the cancer. It was really showing me what my life job was to do, which was to share this with others, and the experience that I had with cancer, that I could help other people and show them it was going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, for other people, it's hard if you haven't gone through that experience. It's very uncomfortable to talk about that. But I find numerous times when I'm with people and when they talk about how they're feeling, and I can identify with that and say, yes, I understand that. I know how that felt. But let me help you and provide these things so that you can hold on to them as you walk your journey.
Mm-hmm. So out of something negative, something positive came about.
You know, yes. Many times I tell people, and I know they kind of give me this weird look, but I thank God that I got the cancer, because I would not be the person that I am today. I have changed immensely since I've had that cancer.
Of course, change for the better.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Well, I think that happens to some people. I mean, they have to make the best of the situation, and sometimes when things look darkest and most depressing, that's when you might discover something to help pull you through. So I think that your attitude is much like some of the other people I've talked to on this show when they're facing some dilemma, and that is they're searching for answers, they find something, and they find that what may be a mistake or they thought was a mistake really is a positive.
Yes, absolutely. It's amazing how the doors open when you go through like something like this. And any challenge anybody has, you know, it's just, I think the important question you have to ask yourself is, what do I learn from this? What am I to learn from this?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think just to know that, you're not alone, that God is with you no matter what happens, no matter how bad something may be, if you don't let go of his hand, it's going to be okay.
Right. Well, I think something you touched upon, too, is whatever will be kind of a thing, in that you can only do so much, and then if it's, you know, your fate or whatever to pass away from a cancer or from some other illness, that's going to happen. And I guess you have to be open to all types of variations and outcomes. Is this what you try to tell other people, as well as what you've experienced yourself?
Yes, I do. I do. And I know many a times when I go down that road, I mean, I have to know what I'm talking about. And many times I've thought myself, you know, when my time is ready or my time comes, you know, how do I prepare myself for that? I've thought about that many times, and I have to be at peace with that, to know that, you know, my job here is done.
Mm-hmm.
The nice thing is that when I pass, you know, we had a son that was 15 hours old, and he had passed away. I know I'll go to him,
mm-hmm.
and he'll be waiting for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, being able to prepare myself in that way and to be at peace with that, you know, I hope that I can share that with, you know, other people when, you know, they're faced with that mm-hmm. situation.
Do you feel you're less anxious about the thought of death now?
I would like to think so, mm-hmm. you know, but I would hope God would give me that strength to say, okay, you know, it's time.
Mm-hmm. Right. You have to accept what it is
mm-hmm.
and when it comes.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it really comes right down to it, we don't have a choice. I mean, if it's your time, it's your time. I've often said that. I don't want to be glib about it, but it's just a fact of life, I think.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And it's how we look at everything, you know. And again, it's just, I trust God with all my heart and soul. And if he tells me now it's time, then, you know, I'm okay with that. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talk about meeting your son on the other side. Have you had dreams or visions that this will happen, or is this a feeling that you have? How would you explain that?
Well, you know, years ago, he would have been actually 19 next month.
Mm-hmm.
When he had passed away, it was probably about maybe 5 months afterwards that my husband and I were just grieving. And, you know, I had, you know, four kids, and two of them were like, they had a two-year-old, a one-year-old, and I think I got a nine-year-old. And I had to be a mom and be strong and still grieve. So one night I woke up, and I was just thinking about my son, and I said, I'm just going to go to the other room. And my youngest boy, John, was 1 year old. So I just thought, I'm going to go pick him up, and I'm going to just hold him and pretend that it's my son Mark that had passed away. Now, when you hold a one-year-old, you know that their feet are hanging off of your lap. And I was holding him, and the moonlight was coming in through the window. And when I looked down, I saw that I did not have my son John, but I had my son Mark. And he was swaddled, and he was in my arms. And, you know, I kept looking up and down. Oh, this just must be this and that. But, no, I had him in my arms. And so I knew that, you know, the good Lord allowed for him to come and be with me and heal me. And it was a short time. I wanted to get up and go show my husband, but I was afraid he might go. So I just stayed and held him for a few minutes. Shortly after that, I started to heal. I started to come out of that cloud, and I started to, you know, I guess the grieving kind of changed, and I started to be back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. Well, I think you realize, too, that what you touched upon is you realize that your other children need a mom, too. You just can't stop living.
Right.
It's a tragedy. But, yeah, you have to keep on living and just go about doing what you do best.
Yes. And it was funny because at the my son's funeral, father had mentioned that he says, you know, these are example of two strong people here. He says, these parents, they lost a child, but they know that they have to be parents and they have to be strong and they have to keep going because they have these children to raise. And that touched me very deeply, and I thought, okay, well, guess I got to do that. And it was mm-hmm. it was enough to keep me going.
Mm-hmm. Now, how would you describe Reiki to our listeners?
Reiki is a universal life force energy. basically what happens is we have windows within us, and people refer to that as the chakras. And these windows allow for this universal energy to go through our body. When these windows are blocked, then that energy doesn't have, you know, doesn't have anywhere to go. It doesn't go to the place where it's supposed to. So it goes in other places. As a result, you're affected physically, emotionally, or spiritually. So what, with the help of Reiki, what we do is we help to open up these windows or chakras so that the energy can flow freely throughout the body so that you can be centered and balanced.
Mm-hmm. And how do you do that? I mean, do you place your hands on their body, or can it be something that, I know some people have done it even remotely, you know, over the telephone. Have you done anything like that?
Yes, I have. There's two ways to do it. One is when you have your client with you, they're laying on a table, and you touch 12 points on their body, and people will feel heat or tingling or pulsating during this time, and that's the Reiki going in, trying to clear and open up the chakras. Sometimes you can do over the distance. I did that one time with my daughter's girlfriend. She was attending state, and she had to take these very big tests in order to be certified as a speech pathologist, and she just couldn't pass these tests. They were oral tests, and she was just having a heck of a time. She had one more test to do, or she was going to give them one more try to do it. If she didn't pass, she was going to have to take classes again. So, and she was over in Lansing, and I live in Canton. So I just asked her, lay in your bed, and I'm going to send it. So it's over the distance healing. And I did it for a half an hour. And afterwards, I called her, and I told her what I had felt, that there was heat here or tingling here and there. And she had said that when she was receiving the Reiki, she just burst into tears and just, you know, could feel this heat and tingling during this time. Well, the next day she had her oral test and she passed, and now she is not she's got a job over in Delaware, and she just got married a few months ago. So mm-hmm. It was a wonderful success story.
Right. So thanks to you, she passed her oral exam, right?
Well, I'd like to say
yeah,
thanks
right.
to the good
yeah.
Lord.
Right. No. Take the credit. Come on. I mean, yeah, it was all you. You know. She had nothing to do with it, which is obviously incorrect. But still, I'm sure that must have helped. She must have really felt some great emotion to have that release.
Yes. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And I think that was probably part of the, you know, the emotional thing, that mental block, you know. So when you open up that chakra, you know, and that, again, that you, that energy can go through, then you're going to be centered, you're going to be grounded, you're going to be able to do what you need to do.
Mm-hmm. So you will feel more relaxed? Is that what you would describe it as?
If anything, when you walk away from a Reiki session, you will feel extremely relaxed and very de-stressed, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's important. I mean, how do you work with a client, though? I mean, do you do it for a half an hour, an hour? Or what's the typical session like?
Generally, it's an hour session. You know, sometimes people will do it for a half an hour, but more times than not, people will do an hour session, which is really the most effective, because you can take your time to work on each point on the body to open up whatever needs to be opened.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, how often do you do this? Do you do it several times a week, or it just depends on when clients contact you?
You know, it depends when clients contact me, and sometimes there'll be a lull, but then, boy, I'll tell you, there'll be a certain time where I'll get 2-3 a week for a couple of weeks. So it's kind of up and down, and it's just, you know, I'm there when I'm needed.
Mm-hmm. Briefly, I just want to remind everybody that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. This month, my special guest is Debbie Bonello. She's a stage 4 cancer survivor of 8 years, a mother of 4, and a Reiki master. And right now, we're talking about Reiki and what it is. Now, when you work with the chakra centers, what do you do with those exactly?
Well, I put my hands where those points are. We have the crown, which is on your head, and we have the heart, which is in your chest area, and then you have your solar plexus, your sacral, and then your root. That's in the pelvic area. You also work on the feet, because you want to make sure people are grounded. And you laying hands there, and when working on somebody, sometimes you don't feel that energy going in right away, or you feel a lot going in right away. So I just kind of have to just play it by ear and see how long I need to keep my hands there. There are times when if somebody is in pain, I can feel that. So, for example, if I'm working near their elbow, and I'll say, does your arm hurt in a certain area? And I'll kind of touch it, and they'll say, oh, yeah, it hurts. I said, well, I can feel that too, so I'm going to put the Reiki there, and we're going to see if we can get that better. And more times than not, we're able to calm it down and get some relief.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's really important that I always tell my clients is Reiki is wonderful, that we can try to get everything centered and balanced and open, but the next part of the Reiki is they have to learn then to experience this peace and this confidence that they have and continue with it on their own. You know, Reiki is just not the one-all cure-all. It's their responsibility as well to start recognizing ways that they can change their life, to be gentle with themselves, to build their spirit, to not push themselves physically. You know, there are just so many things that, you know, people can do to help themselves. So, again, it's a combination of the Reiki and then their responsibility to start making changes in their life.
Mm-hmm. Now, if they really complain of chronic pain, do you also suggest they see medical attention or seek it out to help them?
Absolutely. One of the things that we learned when we were when I was taking a Reiki class is that if you find that somebody has a physical ailment and they haven't checked it out with a doctor, it's important that they check it out with a doctor and get whatever treatment they need, and then we will step in and help, provide Reiki. Our instructor gave us quite a example one time where she said there was somebody that had gotten, I think, a finger cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody, a Reiki person, said, oh, I'm going to start Reiking it to try to heal it. And in the midst of doing that, they started healing it, but the finger wasn't attached. So, you know, that was hard for the doctors to get that back because you had healing going on already. So it's very important that they, and I always tell my clients, go to your doctor, get it checked out, and then once that's checked out, then I will go ahead and step in.
Mm-hmm.
Very important.
So, right, so they both work together, the
yes.
Reiki and the actual medical attention.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. I always tell my clients, go back to your doctor. If you find that you're still hurting and things are not, you know, going well, go back to your doctor and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times they like to come in and say, well, you know, my leg is hurting and I just don't want to go to the doctor. I just want to try this, you know, so, okay, you know, we'll try it. But I'm always encouraging them, you need to go see, you know, a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Right. Knowing your past history with your family and your experience with cancer, do you use Reiki on your family as well?
I do, yes, especially with my mom. My mom is, she's 80-some, and I know she gets tired. She has diabetes, and she gets the neuropathy in her feet, so I try to provide Reiki for her to get some relief in that. It doesn't totally go away, but she's able to get some relief. She also worries a lot, too, so that helps to, de-stress and just feel more at peace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and my sister-in-law, my nephew, he had problems with his stomach, and he was in a lot of pain. So, yeah, whenever somebody needs something, I can go there and provide it, I certainly try to do that.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever have, like, dreams or visions about some of your clients and how you can help them better?
No, I don't. I don't have that that gift, but I do pray, and I do When I'm giving Reiki to somebody, I do try to just go with my intuition and just move my hands and place them where I think, you know, they need to be. I kind of get a bit of a guidance there. So if it's you know, touching, say, a knee, and I'm not really sure why, I just go ahead and trust that intuition and do that.
Mm-hmm. What do you do to prepare yourself in order to do a Reiki session?
Well, I meditate. I pray. I ask that that I am protected during the session, that I invite, you know, like some of the archangels to come in, and I ask Mother Mary and, you know, the Holy Spirit to come in and help guide me during the Reiki session.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel their presence?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Yes, sometimes I can just feel quite the peacefulness in the room. One time I was working on my mother-in-law, and I could feel like a wind go up, hit my face, and it wasn't the heat because it was over on the other side of the room. So I knew, and I felt this intense love, so I knew the Holy Spirit was there as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, that probably does quite a bit for you as well. I mean, it makes you feel better also, right?
It does. It really does. It grounds me, and I just rejoice, you know, in knowing that, you know, this love that God gives us is just so wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Now, does a session of Reiki really take a lot out of you, or does it depend on how many clients you have in a day, or generally, how does that work?
You know, that's a question that I get all the time, and the way I answer that is, when I first started, and I was still recovering from the chemo, I was really whipped. I really was. But after that, after I recovered and I got back on my feet, no. In fact, I find that I'm more energized after working with clients after their sessions.
Well, that's good, right?
Mm-hmm, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's unexpected, though, right? I mean, you probably didn't think that was going to happen, but you've done it so long now that is the result that you get?
Well, that's what we learned in our training, too, that the person, your client is getting the Reiki, and you are getting the Reiki. So you are, you know, you're getting strength, and your chakras are being opened, and you're, you know, continue to be grounded and centered. And so, yeah, no, mm-hmm. it's pretty neat.
So what did your training consist of?
We had a couple of weekends over at St. Mary's Hospital, and it was, I think, about 4 or 5 hours, and we were given the history of Dr. Usui, who was the founder of Reiki, the what Reiki was all about, and then we started to learn the particulars about Reiki, and then we started to practice Reiki with each other. We received attunements and then started to give Reiki to each other so that we could understand and feel and learn along the way how to do this.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's different levels, but how do you achieve each level, and who decides when you have achieved that level?
Well, the Reiki master determines that because we've taken the extra classes and have learned other things, and so in our experience, so we, by looking and working with clients that are learning to do this, we just kind of have that feeling. We just know that they're ready for that.
Mm-hmm. So there's no degree or anything per se that you can hang on the wall and say, hey, I'm a, you know, whatever degree, Reiki master. You don't have anything like that, correct?
Well, at the end of each class, you do receive a certificate saying that you have the first degree and second degree. And then when you, again, with a Reiki master, when you finish that, you do have a certificate from the person who taught that to you, that you, you know, you are a Reiki master.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that makes it official, right?
It makes it official,
right.
Yes.
Well,
so
that's
I
good.
Have my 3 certificates.
Yeah, right. And you point to them often, right? Well, no, it helps. I mean, you know, some people have to see some kind of diploma or something to trust somebody to actually work on them.
Right. You know, and I think of that many times, too. You know, you just don't want to walk in anywhere and somebody says, oh, yeah, I know how to do Reiki. You know, you have to really, you really have to be careful about that. You have to just be aware of that, to know that, the, you know, not everybody can do this. There's a special reason that you are giving something to others to help them on their journey, and in the end, so we can all meet, you know, mm-hmm. at the end of the road there.
Right. So when you were first introduced to Reiki, you just had maybe an intuition that this could be for you and that it was something you could do well?
Yes, yes. It was, as I said before, when I was at Camp Bluebird and I had received that Reiki, there was just this feeling that said, this is what I want to do. This is something I know I have to do. And then when I was there learning all this, it was like, it was definite confirmation that this was the road that I needed to go down.
Mm-hmm. Have you had any thoughts of maybe doing something else metaphysically?
You know, I have, but I think right now the Reiki is where I find most fulfillment. So mm-hmm. that's where I'm
yeah.
planning on
now,
staying.
Do you work on pets at all? Animals?
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. I do. Yes, I do. In fact, my sister-in-law's dog a few years ago was just not doing very well, and the doctor had said that if some wound hadn't healed, I think like within that night, there was going to be a problem with the dog. So I sent, I went over there and I gave Reiki, and little Buster's still around.
Well, that's good. I'm sure Buster's really happy about that as well, right? And very quickly, I want to remind everybody once again that you are listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Debbie Bonello. She is a stage 4 cancer survivor of 8 years, mother of 4, and a Reiki master. So she's achieved quite a bit, actually. And knowing that, what are your future plans? Do you have any right now, or do you just take it one day at a time?
You know, I think I would like, of course this is really out there, but I think I would really like to write a book mm-hmm. about a lot of the, I guess the epiphanies that I've come across and somehow try to share these new ways of looking at life and connection with God and just try to get others to see, how wonderful it can be mm-hmm. once you understand what's going on. I'd mm-hmm. also like to try to write a children's book too. My new son-in-law is quite the artist, so I'm hoping.
Oh, really? Well, there you go.
He could, you know, illustrate for me.
Could be a match made in heaven.
Yes.
Right? Well, you never know.
Well, that's the thing, and one of the things I've really learned along this journey is that there is no coincidence. There is mm-hmm. no coincidence. This past year, when things happen, even when they're not the best things, mm-hmm. I just look at it and it's like, oh my goodness, these pieces of the jigsaw puzzle is starting to come together, and it all makes sense. Mm-hmm. And that's the marvel with this journey and with the Reiki. It's just you see how everything is starting to fit, which then allows me to just let go even more and, you know, give it to God. And that's the message I think people just really need to understand. You can just let go. No matter how bad it seems, it really isn't.
Mm-hmm. So you always try to look on the bright side?
I try to look on the God side, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right. Well, I mean, we're all human, and I'm sure there are going to be times when you're upset about something. But in the end, do you feel that helps your personal growth to look for the good in everybody and every situation?
Yes, yes, yes. It's so important because then you're able to look at other people differently and say, okay, well, I know what that's like. I've been there. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, you can see why, you know, they respond or react the way they do. But it's okay. You'll get through it. You'll mm-hmm. get through it. You'll get to the other side. You mm-hmm. always do.
One way or the other.
One
right?
way or the other, yeah.
So do you find yourself maybe calmer in traffic now, whereas not necessarily you in particular, but people in general sometimes will get upset in traffic, but do you find yourself being calmer in traffic and not getting upset at other drivers that may cut you off or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. When things happen, you know, in the store or somebody is, you know, I don't know, they give you the finger going by or something, you know, and it's just, well, okay, you know, I can choose to pick up that ball and hold it or not. It's not really my ball, so okay. let it be as it is. Mm-hmm. And it's really very, it's much better. I mean, you're just a happier person that
yeah,
way.
Right. You don't get caught up in just the minute emotion that everybody else feels.
Right.
So you don't waste that energy.
Well, right. You know, and it was funny because last week we were getting ready to, we were in line to go to the drive-in.
Mm-hmm.
And the line was just, oh, it was so long. I mean, we were probably in line a good 20, 30 minutes, and we had maybe five to, you know, 6 minutes before the movie was going to go on, and we're waiting, and the whole time, my daughter's just very impatient. I was just saying, let it go, it'll be okay. Well, long story short, we finally got in. We had maybe 2 minutes left before we saw the movie, and because of the vehicle we were in, the attendant says, you can go to the front, and right in front of the screen, because you have a small car, so you can go right in front of there, and we had the best seat in the house.
So again, it all worked out.
It did, yeah.
And was your daughter impressed with that?
Well, you know, she wasn't. I mean, she wasn't going to admit that to Mom, but
yeah.
I think later on, you know, I'm sure if I were to ask her again, she would probably have to concede to that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that your attitude affects your family, that they're perhaps calmer and more accepting now?
Yes, I think we're slowly getting to that point where they're listening a little bit more, you know, to me and seeing things in a different way. Even with my husband, he's looking at things much differently now, too.
Mm-hmm. Have you inspired any of your family members to follow in your footsteps and take Reiki also, or do anything metaphysically?
It's kind of hard, I think, with family sometimes. You know, they, they're wonderful. My family is wonderful, but no, they really haven't done that.
Mm-hmm. But yet you still work with them and they
appreciate
that.
And they're very appreciative when I go and work with them, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. But, I mean, also I've heard of people doing Reiki on plants. Have you ever done anything like that?
Yeah, I have, actually.
Really? Okay.
I have. Actually, what I really would like to do with plants is just have my mom go and touch them. My mom's got a gift, quite a gift,
really?
As well, but she just has to touch a flower, and it could just be about dead, and it comes back in a few days. So,
really? Well, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Do you have that same touch, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. I have to use Reiki. Mom just kind of, I don't know, she's got this gift.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing. Again, I mean, you wonder where you get your gifts from, but it just is there, it seems. And I don't know whether that's based on past lives and what you've brought forward to this life, or whatever the case may be, but I think sometimes people are astounded by some of the things that they're able to do that, you know, they weren't really thinking about or concentrating on, and yet they find they can do certain things and they have talents for certain things that...
I mentioned you could hear mountains.
The views and opinions expressed on the following pre-recorded show do not necessarily represent those of WHFR or Henry Ford Community College.
He's looking at things much differently now, too.
Mm-hmm. Have you inspired any of your family members to follow in your footsteps and take Reiki also, or do anything metaphysically?
It's kind of hard, I think, with family sometimes. You know, they, they're wonderful. My family is wonderful, but no, they really haven't done that.
Mm-hmm. But yet you still work with them and they
appreciate
that.
And they're very appreciative when I go and work with them, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. But, I mean, also I've heard of people doing Reiki on plants. Have you ever done anything like that?
Yeah, I have, actually.
Really? Okay.
I have. Actually, I just what I really would like to do with plants is just have my mom go and touch them. My mom's got a gift, quite a gift,
really?
As well, but she just has to touch a flower, and it could just be about dead, and it comes back in a few days. So,
really? Well, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Do you have that same touch, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. I have to use Reiki. Mom just kind of, I don't know. She's got this gift.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing. Again, I mean, you wonder where you get your gifts from, but it just is there, it seems. And I don't know whether that's based on past lives and what you've brought forward to this life or whatever.
And welcome to Lyrical Infusion. I am the diva, and you...
The views and opinions... So again, it all worked out.
It did, yeah. I know... I try to encourage them to, learn how to do Reiki.
Mm-hmm. And does anybody take you up on that?
Not as of lately. It's just kind of, they just listen and then, in fact, I just got a client the other day that requested learning how to do the Reiki. So that's a conversation that we will be, working on and trying to figure out what we can do about that.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you work over the phone, how do you do that? I mean, how do you project that, I don't know, those feelings, those powers, whatever you want to call it, how do you project that to that person, and how do they feel it, and how can they feel it through the telephone lines or whatever the case may be?
Well, I call them before we start the session, and I'll tell them, I need for you to find a comfort.
The views and opinions expressed on the following
we'll figure out from there where to go. And then usually after the 6 weeks, they're feeling better, and then they pretty much decide, well, maybe I'll come see you every other week or maybe once a month. And if I agree, if I feel that that's good, then that's the way we go. Sometimes people just come in for a tune-up. Once a month, or they'll come, a couple times a month, and it just kind of depends who the client is and what their needs are.
Mm-hmm. Do you find people? The views and opinions expressed. Views and opinions expressed.
If your walls could talk, what would they say? Let's see all kids under. Outreach has trouble. At 70, sea lead paint doesn't mean it's not on walls, doors, windows, and sills. Today, lead paint poisoning affects over 1 million children. If your home was built before 1978, your family could be at risk.
See you every other week. You know, it really is what I'm supposed to be doing, journey. But a week later, his dad had passed away. And, you know, it was at that time then that I realized that they were there, I think, to let us know that they were going to be happy that their son was coming home.
Right. They've often said that, you know, past spirits are there to greet you on the other side, you know, loved ones, friends, whatever the case might be. Now, does that make you feel really, really good when you're able to help somebody? I would think that's somewhat therapeutic for you yourself.
Yes, yes, I do. I feel that's it's a paying forward kind of thing. You know, wonderful things have happened to me, and I've learned so many wonderful things. So if I'm able to, you know, pass that torch and give it to somebody who can, you know, feel better and look at things differently, then, then I feel great about that. It's just I'm doing what I'm asked to be doing.
Right, right. Well, you just know that you're on the right path at that point, correct?
Yes, yes.
Does that inspire you to keep going?
Yes, it does. Yes, I'm very, very a firm believer in what I've been asked to do in my life. And so until I get any other signs or any kind of, you know, messages, this is what I will be doing.
Right. Well, it's kind of nice to find your mission in life, isn't it?
You know, it really is, because before I got the cancer, I was just like, I really don't know what I'm supposed to be doing here. I was teaching for a while and, you know, full-time mom, and went back to school and working special ed, and it just like, you know, what am I really supposed to be doing? And I feel this is it. But couldn't have known that unless I had cancer. So.
Right, right. Well, again, there's always a silver lining to every dark cloud,
yes,
I guess. But
yes.
Again, it gets back to being truly amazing, I think. I've heard of many people that have gone through terrible events and tragic events, and yet they come out, like you said, on the other side, a better person for it.
Yes.
And you feel that this has happened to you, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So what are your future plans? Just keep on doing Reiki and possibly write that book? I think that might be a good thing. That might be somewhat therapeutic, too.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'd like to look into that book and see really what I need to do. I have a friend of mine who... I think she's got a bit of a gift, too. She'll deny it. Because one time she says, you're going to be working at this school where, you know, that I'm working at. And I said, I'm not even looking for a job. You know?
Right.
And her prediction was right. I ended up being interviewed, and I got the job, like, right on the spot. And she keeps telling me, I know that this cancer wasn't going to get you. I just know it. She says, but I do know also you're here to write a book. So I'm kind of holding on to that, and that would be my next thing.
Right. Well, I think you can help a lot of people just by doing that, letting them know how you felt and all the things that you've gone through.
Yes, yes. I just think you're not alone, and when others know that, you know, you've gone through the same thing, and you can make it through, and it really is going to be okay. I think everybody's looking for something like that.
Right. Well, everybody's looking for an answer, but it's not easy to find sometimes.
No, you're right. It really isn't. This getting to this point was not a very easy
Right.
thing
and
to
not
do.
That you wish cancer on somebody to find out what their mission is. Hopefully it'll be a little more peaceful. But again, it's what is preordained, I think, for each individual. You never know what might trip something so that you follow a different path or whatever might happen.
Right, that's right.
So how can people get in touch with you if they choose to?
Well, I have a number. I work out in Canton. I work in a fitness place located on Joy Road in Morton Taylor. And if you want to get hold of me, my number is 734-788-3561.
Well, it's been very interesting. Now, you're also a mother of four. Is that a challenge? I'm sure that is, on a daily basis, right? Or maybe not so much anymore now that they're grown.
Oh,
right?
It's still a challenge.
Oh, really?
It
that never changes?
Is. But I love them. I love them all. And they, along the road, they are really teaching me a lot.
Right.
Boy, what a gift with that.
Right. Well, again, that's why they say even your enemies are put in your path so that you'll learn about yourself and about others.
Yes.
So
yes.
You feel that your children are always teaching you new things and different things?
Yep. Each one is teaching me a different way to learn how to listen better, how to understand, and how to communicate with them better. Because when they become adults, they're going to do big things in this world, that I know.
Mm-hmm. Have you had any visions about that?
It's just feelings. It's just feelings that right now, you know, they are being prepared to do something wonderful, you know, when they are out in the world.
Yeah. Well, that's a good feeling.
Yes, it is.
You got to be proud of that.
I'm very blessed and very proud.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Debbie, thank you very much for being on the show today. I really appreciate it, and thank you for all your insight into Reiki and life in general.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate being here, too. Thank you so much.
Right, and real quickly, you've been also a part of our Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair for the past 3 years. I want to thank you for being a part of that and supporting it. It's very important that we have people like you around, so thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Wouldn't miss it for the world.
Okay, great. Thank you. Well, I want to thank my special guest this month, Debbie Bonello, stage 4 cancer survivor of 8 years, mother of 4, and Reiki master. All of those things really seem to work together for her, and like she said earlier in the interview, they all teach her and they have all improved her life. So I think that's really important, that you can learn from something that is devastating and yet you can take a lemon and make lemonade out of it, in essence. So I think that's really tremendous that she has that spirit, and I'm glad she was able to do the show. I also want to thank my producer, Brandon McKay, for helping me out on this edition of Metaphysically Speaking. I always appreciate his help and support, and be sure to join me on the third Tuesday of every month for another edition of Metaphysically Speaking. Until that time, I just want to say thank you for listening, and have a great day, everybody.
This is WHFR, Dearborn. Good afternoon and welcome to The Best of Broadway. I'm Joe, your host here on the station Making Waves, WHFR.FM on the internet, 89.3 on your FM dial. We're coming to you from the beautiful campus of Henry Ford Community College in the world-class community of Dearborn, Michigan. And today's play is Lerner and Lowe's Brigadoon. A book and lyrics by Alan J. Lerner, music by Frederick Lowe. Story, it's based on a, originally it was a German story, German folk story, and Lerner and Lowe kind of adapted it to a Scottish background. And the story will go something like this. In the forest, about 5 in the morning, we meet two hunters, New Yorkers around the age of 30, Tommy Albright and his friend Jeff Douglas. Jeff, who drinks too much, cannot comprehend his friend's dissatisfaction with the life that includes a fine job and an attractive fiancée. Yet Tommy is deeply troubled and unwilling to settle down to the routine existence that is expected of him. Just then, the pair hear distant voices singing about a village called Brigadoon. Brigadoon, which is not listed on their map. Slowly, the village itself begins to appear in the mist.